Good day, companions and brethren. Bob Chase, and welcome to another edition of what we're calling Mini Podcasts, where we pick people throughout Masonry in Maryland and get them on to talk about what they do and how maybe you can become a part of it. With me now is Carl Michael, who is the executive officer of Maryland DeMolle. And I know it's something that is dear to your heart, Carl, and the COVID has really thrown all of us for a bit of a loop. Welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about what you did during COVID, to sustain DeMolle when people weren't meeting.
We worked on a lot of programs over the internet. We did a lot with Zoom meetings. We were working on some virtual ritual practices and things like that. We communicated with a lot of other jurisdictions. The guys loved communicating with guys overseas, the other side of the country. It was a great experience.
So the overseas part, I'm kind of interested in that. Did you do that through Zoom meetings, or how did you connect with those DeMolle people?
Yes, sir. It was with Zoom primarily. There were some other applications that they used, like Discord, while they were gaming and things. But this gave them the opportunity to get together with chapters from all around the world and go to their meetings. Some of it was in other languages, which was kind of really interesting to be a part of. You didn't always understand what was going on, but it was kind of fun to connect that way.
So you are meeting in person now, right?
Yes, sir, we are.
Okay. Are you trying to do some Zoom meetings on occasion where you invite guests?
We try to do that when possible. Most of the chapters want to meet in person now. There are some activities going on around the country, sometimes overseas, that we can still jump in on. Some of the countries aren't quite as open as we are. Most of it, the guys want to get together, they want to travel, they want to be together doing activities. So we've been trying to promote that as much as possible.
One of the things that when I talked to Marco Rodriguez, one of the things that he and I talked about was the mentoring process that DeMolle has. Talk a little bit about that, if you would, from your perspective.
Well, from my perspective, I've been with the organization since I was 12. I'll be 55 this year, so I've experienced it on both the receiving end and the giving end. And I can honestly say there's nothing more fulfilling on the adult side than having the young man come up to you and really appreciate you giving them your time to discuss whatever is important to them, and realizing that there's nothing more important than taking these young men and bringing them up, promoting what they want to see happen within the organization, giving them the support they need to traverse this crazy society that they're having to deal with today. When I was in, I had Masons that were teachers, guys that had million-dollar businesses, and they all, for me, sat and talked with me just like they were my dad or a contemporary. And it meant a lot to me growing up and really formulated me as I came through.
That was one of the things that Marco mentioned when we talked, and the mentoring process and how DeMolle, you got to know these other guys and they became not only your, I guess if you use the term brothers in DeMolle, but they became friends, and that seemed to impress him an awful lot. But the thing that I hear a lot is the fact that you take, this is going to sound a little crazy, a Bob Chase, who is very, he's very shy. He doesn't want to come out. That's funny, isn't it? Anyway, and bring them out of that shell and make them able to stand up in front of a group of people and talk about DeMolle or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of it is just having these young men realize that they can be comfortable in the group that they're in. They don't have to feel shy. They don't have to feel odd. They don't have to feel different. There's nobody here that is going to come at them for their differences, we'll put it that way, because every young man has a different idea, thought, interest. And what we try to do is wrap around those ideas, thoughts, and interests, share those with the other young men who then come back in and show them they're interested in that. And it becomes a family. It becomes brothers. They realize that they're safe. And that's really what needs to be done with our youth today. They need to understand that they are safe within the confines of the group that they're with, and that ideas they have, while they may seem silly to them at times, they are things that the guys really jump on. And it's amazing how quickly something can go from just a silly idea to one of these major events for the jurisdiction.
Okay, so we've got an age group of young men from, I believe, 12 to 20?
The age group is 12 to 21 for DeMolay, and about 3 years ago, they started a younger group called the Squires for 9, 10, and 11-year-olds.
Okay, so my question is, does everyone in the 12 to 21 group, do you all meet together? Do you separate some of them out to practice or whatever it is you do?
It is one big happy family. You come in and you can be an officer at any age. You can be just a sideliner at any age. The interesting part is when the 18-year-olds become Masons, because we have that dynamic that's put inside of it. But it's really interesting to watch the older members mentor the younger members as they're coming through, and really wrap around them to give them that comfort level that, you know, I can make a mistake and people aren't going to jump on me. But the only time that this separation happens is if we have overnight stays at conclaves or our, you know, annual communications, because there are limitations as to what we can put in rooms.
Sure. Okay. So if you do what we, as the Blue Lodge Masons and York Rite Masons, would call degree work, do you have, and how does that play into building confidence in some of these young men by doing this work, memorization, and standing up in front of a group and reciting it?
Well, absolutely. We have two degrees, the initiatory degree and the DMLA degree. The initiatory degree is very similar to what we would do in a Blue Lodge. It's an instructional degree, describes the seven cardinal virtues, and walks the young men around the room. And they learn a lot of valuable lessons. And there's a lot of young men that when they're learning this information, they are shocked at what they are able to learn. And we teach them just like in Blue Lodge, a word, a phrase, a sentence.
Yep.
That leads into a paragraph, and over time, before you know it, you've memorized the whole book. Our DeMolay degree is the one that most people like to be part of because it is a play, and the guys really like getting into character, getting dressed up, kind of like what we do in the chapter and council with the degree work, and they really, really enjoy being a part of that piece.
Well, I can imagine that that just builds a lot of confidence in these young people. Now, membership. Where does most of your membership come from? And I'm going to make a guess that maybe they're Masons already whose children decide to join DeMolay. But otherwise, where does your membership come from?
Well, you'd be surprised. A lot of our membership comes from word of mouth from the members. They get a taste of it from a friend of theirs. They come in where they're doing fun activities. They're learning the stuff in the chapter. People start seeing the logos on their shirts at school. They start asking them about it. Next thing you know, they're inviting them to a fun activity. And it really is from within. We have done some advertising, if you will, on some cartoon channels here and there back in the day. It really didn't bring anything into us. The parents is another great avenue. When the parents start realizing what is being taught to their young people, they will share that with other parents and say, you really got to see this. The parents will come out, they'll view it, and that's what they're looking for. They're looking for people to help them, to guide their kids, to bring them up and give them a safe environment to be in.
Two-part question. How do the collateral bodies in masonry work with DMLA, and vice versa? How does DMLA work with the collateral bodies?
Well, with any of the organizations, a lot of times we're asked to come out and do some of our open ceremonies to give them programs. A lot of times we'll come out and assist with table lodges, serving dinners. If a lodge is doing a road cleanup, they may invite us along to do those types of things. And those are great opportunities for our young men to meet even more adults and realize that meeting an adult is not a scary thing. And there's a lot of people that talk to them and give them those little tidbits of information that really help them along. As far as the collateral bodies helping us, it's reciprocal. If we're doing a road cleanup like Mount Ararat up with Nelson J. Briggs, and Mel and Ararat will come out and help them. I know Nelson J. Briggs has worked a lot with Mount Ararat on their Christmas lights, their food truck time when they've got it out. It's just a great avenue for young people and our more seasoned veterans in masonry to get together and realize that if we work hand in hand with these young men, it's something that they may want to be part of. Vice versa, if the young men work with the members, they realize that a lot of what they're hearing excites them and they want to become part of those organizations as well.
Well, you know, and that's interesting talking about the membership part of this, which is, and I would not classify this as a complaint, but is there ways to make DMLA more of a feeder program for masonry in your mind?
The answer is yes and no. You will see young men come into the organization. They, just like masonry, they get a feel for it. They're working through it. It's not really for them. But as they stay with it and come through, the more that they do with the collateral bodies, the Shrine, the York Rite, the Scottish Rite, all that, they realize this is something that they can get involved with and continue with the things that they're learning in a chapter. The challenge that we have is that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, without realizing it, some of our senior members will say some things that, you know, that kind of turn them off. And we do our best to wrap ourselves around those times and explain, you know, maybe the reasoning behind the verbiage that's used sometimes. But I'll tell you, a lot of our members will look at the fraternity to go in. Typically, it happens either right when they turn 18 or after they come back from college.
Yeah. Okay. So, finally, this has been a great interview, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Finally, what does a young man have to do to join DMLA, and how can they get in touch with whomever?
The best place to go is to our website. It's www.mddmlay.org. There is an interest area there. They can go in and fill information out. They can reach any of our lodges who can put them in touch with us, and we can get a hold of them and talk about it. Usually the young men will meet with another young man. They'll fill out a petition, which they're not calling them that anymore. They've renamed them a little bit,
but
fill out an interest form. We bring them in. We vote on them just like we would in a lodge. Just, we don't have the big 28-day layover like we do in lodge, but they vote on them. They say, yes, come in. And then we go through the degrees. It's pretty simple to get them in.
How often do you meet?
Most chapters meet twice a month. Some meet once a month. There are chapters that will have like a activity night where they'll do gaming and stuff like that. There are usually activities going on the weekends, and you can catch an activity for just about any chapter that you want. But typically 1 to 2 times a month for an actual meeting.
What can, and I'll use myself as an example, which I didn't announce, it doesn't matter really, but I'm the most excellent Grand High Priest of York Rite Masons in Maryland. What could I do in the next few months of my term to help DMLA with its membership?
The best thing would be just remember it when you're talking with your members. Discuss that, you know, if you have family members or grandchildren or neighbors that are of the age group to join, whether it's DMLA, Job's Daughters, or Rainbow, that there are people that we can get them in touch with. And, you know, if you're out talking and discussing things, just let them know that it's available for our young people. And we're happy to help out and talk and discuss with them and see how we can best work with them to become members.
Okay. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking this time. This has been a really good interview. And hopefully if we get it up in the right places, maybe it'll catch somebody's eye. But my final question, why should a young man join DMLA, and what does the name Jacques DMLA mean to you?
Well, I'll start off with the Jacques DMLA. That name is the last hero and martyr of the Knights Templar. He was the last Grand Commander before Philip the Fair of France shut down the Knights Templars in 1307 over in France. To me, it stands for somebody who stood up for themselves, stood up for their brothers, and stood up for his beliefs. The man was burned at the stake because he wouldn't bow down to a king who wanted all their money. You know, it's one of those things, if you keep it in you that your brothers and your friends are the most important thing you can have with family, then you've got a lot in life, even if you don't have a lot of money, a big house, a big car, because friends are the most important piece. I forgot the last part of the question.
Well, that's okay. It's a good thing I'm not old. I wouldn't forget it. No, the first part, and I am serious to this point, and not that I'm any different than anyone else, but I believe the head of bodies in Masonry as a whole, and at least in my little niche of the Masonic world right now, is to help chapters and other groups become stronger and see membership go up, or at least get the word out there of who we are and what we do. And that was the first part of the question. How can I, as a York Rite Mason, get the word out and help you guys?
Well, again, the biggest thing is just talk to your people about it. If you need information about what DMLA is, we can supply that for you. There's a great initial website you can go to that is put out by DMLA International, which is www.badmla.org. And that's great for parents and the young men to go into and take a look at. They talk about programs. They talk about what it means to be a member. You know, if you're a young man today and you are looking for something because you just don't feel like you fit in anywhere at school and clubs, sometimes an opportunity like this where you are able to spread your wings and explore some ideas that maybe people have been shutting down, we give you that opportunity. We give you that opportunity to really, really come into your own and give you that confidence so that as you're going forward in life, you can be the kind of person that will be a leader and the kind of leader we're looking for.
That was the last question, but something just struck me. Have you had young men come to the organization who have been a part of being bullied?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have young men from all levels. We have young men who are on the spectrum that are looking for, you know, the families are looking for something for them, and our consistency works very well with them. We have young men that have been bullied, and they come into this organization, they realize that they are not alone, and there are young men out there who have experienced similar things. Unfortunately, it's part of growing up. I think pretty much everybody has experienced it in some level. We have young men who are, you know, 4.75 GPA students. We have young men that they don't want to go to college. They want to be plumbers and carpenters, which is nothing wrong with that. And these guys really get together. They support each other in what they want to do, and they really don't look down at each other like we tend to do sometimes later in life in this community.
Brethren and companions, that is Carl Michael, Executive Officer Marilyn DeMolay. And Carl, thank you so much again, and good luck.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.